Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
It starts with one thing.
I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to explain in due time.
All I know.
Time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day.
Welcome to the show. What? What?
No.
Doing the best I can.
I know. I know.
Okay. So, I actually thought maybe we should talk more health-related stuff. Lately, it's just like, you know, very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Free association. Like, whatever's going on in life, I decide to talk about. But let's talk about things that are health-related. I had a test done on the doctors. These guys, I swear to God, I feel like I'm the guinea pig. Me and Dr. Sears. I mean, I get emails from them like, who wants to jump out of a plane? I'm not kidding. I'm like, oh, I'm out of town that day. Sorry. So I ended up getting the assignment of getting this test. It's called the Navigenics test.
Navigenics.
Oh, you writing it down?
Well, I've never heard of it.
Well, here's what it is. It's a test where you, sounds gross, you spit into a little vial and they check your DNA through your spit and they tell you what medical conditions you're predisposed for. Now, you know, I'm going to give you the caveat that Dr. Travis gave me, and he basically said, listen, this is very new technology and, you know, we don't know how real this is or how real it isn't, what have you. So I guess essentially when Dr. Travis had it done, they told him he was going to die of a heart attack. Well, if you look at Travis, he's like the picture of health and, you know, he's in fantastic shape and his cholesterol is all within healthy range and so on. But anyway, back to me. So I had this test. Dr. Lisa chose not to do it because she didn't want to know. She felt like it was kind of almost knowing the day you were going to die. Does that make any sense?
And I've heard that with the body scans, people don't do it because of that. They don't want to know. It's leave it to fate or whatever.
I think that's a huge mistake. I think it's a huge mistake. And the reason I say that is because, first of all, your genetics, I've said this a million times, they are not static. As in, your genetics are affected. They express themselves or itself, your DNA expresses itself, your genetics expresses itself based upon the input that you are giving it. So if you're eating a bunch of poison, well, your genetics are going to express that in a certain way. If you're eating nothing but organic superfoods, your genetics are going to express that a certain way. Your genetics are dynamic. Okay. So they're affected by the expression of your lifestyle, what you eat,
If you're sleeping, if you're an alcoholic, if you're not, if you're a drug addict, if you're not, you know, all of the smog, the quality of your water, all of these things are essentially input that, you know, your body is taking on, taking in, and then it's going to respond based on your genetics. So somebody might smoke their entire lives and not get lung cancer.
Right.
Somebody might smoke, you know, 5 years and get lung cancer. That's a genetic predisposition. So, although, by the way, most people that get lung cancer have been smokers, moving forward. So anyway, the idea here is I don't want you to see these things like body scans or genetics testing or even a checkup at your doctor. It's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I get it because, you know, we tend to think, well, no news is good news. Or, you know, ignorance is bliss. But what you're not realizing is that you won't remain ignorant forever. You know, it's what you don't know, you will know.
It's gonna catch up.
Only
to
the
you.
News is going to be worse.
Yeah.
So if you have breast cancer, but you don't want to know, well, guess when you're going to find out? When it's stage three, not stage one. If you have a predisposition to heart disease, but you don't want to know, guess when you're going to find out? When you have a heart attack and you drop dead at a bank at 55 years old, which is what happened to my dad's mother. So wow. The thing is, a seemingly healthy woman, but she had a genetic predisposition. So the thing of it is, by knowing this information, you empower yourself to affect the expression of your genetics differently. So I do this test. Moving my microphone. It's not my creaky bones, for God's sake.
She just lifted her arm.
God, no. Moving on. So I do this test and she tells me, I get a little genetics counselor and there's all these different results for all these different things. But the ones that stood out on me were deep vein thrombosis, which is a blood clot, right? So now I know to wear compression socks when I'm flying. Now I know to make sure when I'm traveling, I get up and I move around a lot. And there are various foods you can eat to help prevent this and so on. And
now, was that upsetting to hear that for you?
I just don't, it didn't feel real to me because I was like, all right, well, I exercise. And, now I know when I travel to make sure that I, you know, wear compression socks and I get up and move.
And they're attractive too.
Oh boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nothing sexier than a pair of compression socks.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were not helping.
No, I'm very sorry.
So, wear my compression socks when I fly?
Yeah. So you took the news, but it was like, well, okay.
Well, okay. I mean, but here's the one that really affected me. And it's something that I've always had sort of this weird feeling about, right? I have double the risk of breast cancer than the average woman. So the average woman is 1 in 8. I'm 1 in 4. Now, again, I did talk to, because I'm surrounded by doctors, I talked to a breast cancer surgeon whose name is Dr. Christy Funk. She's great. She's amazing. She's been on The Doctors a million times. She treated Sheryl Crow. And I asked her about this, and she was explaining that it's over the course of your lifetime, and I've already gotten through X amount of my life without it, and I've had she did a mammogram for me at 37, and right now everything's okay. But the information, here's what you know. And the reason that this rings true for me is because I've always known that I was an estrogen dominant female. And it's because of the way my body stores fat, first of all, you know, because when you store fat in your belly, you're more testosterone dominant. When you store fat in your lower body, you're more estrogen dominant. So I always knew that. I am prone to getting something called melasma, which they call the pregnancy mask. When you have excess estrogen and progesterone in the body, estrogen in particular, the sun can hyperpigment the skin and it creates these little black spots on your skin called melasma. So now I'm careful. I stay out of the sun. I avoid estrogenic foods like soy. I even stay away from flax. I try not to drink very often, which I do once in a while because they all create excess estrogen in the body. And then in addition, I'm so foggy. Like my brain, I've always been a little bit of it is my ADHD, which I've had since childhood. And, you know, let me tell you, you think it's not a real diagnosis. It is. That's a whole nother show, living with it, because you start to think you're a crazy person. And there are things that are obviously ADHD. Like, I will read a segment on the doctors, right? And it says, okay, Jillian answers these questions about fitness. And then they'll be setting up the gym at the doctors. And I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we setting up the gym? And they'll say, oh, it's for your segment. And I'm thinking, I don't have a workout segment today. And they're like, didn't you study your books? Didn't you study the shows? And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't read anything about the gym. And it says, from the gym, Jillian answers these questions. And I just, with ADHD, like, I've read it five times. I don't see it. It's the strangest thing in the world. But my forgetfulness is, you know how they'll say pregnancy brain? Mm-hmm. And I've heard Dr. Lisa answer that question on The Doctors, where she talks about estrogen and progesterone and how it can cause this sort of forgetfulness. And I thought, oh my God, that's what it's been with me all this time. I am so, people come up to me that I've met five times, and I cannot for the life of me figure out where I know them from or what the heck their name was. It's not that I don't care. I cannot remember. And everyone will go, oh, you know, you're just busy. But I'm just foggy. It's like, I cannot.
Is it foggy, or are you firing on way too many cylinders?
I thought maybe because the ADHD, I thought maybe that was it. But they're now equating high levels of estrogen to kind of like a foggy lack of memory. And I thought, was it too many diet sodas back in the day? Well, you know, and it's funny because I have friends who are pregnant, and I go, oh my God, they're like me now. Like, you know, you'll tell them something, and then I'll say, okay, so, I ordered tie-in, you know, for us. And then one of my friends was like, what do you feel like doing for dinner? I was like, I just told you, hello. And that's like how I am. Like, it's the strangest thing. So anyway, I expected that information, right? It almost confirmed something that I had been worried about. But the great news is that I was then able to go, okay, breast cancer. What are things that that contribute to it? And it's like certain chemicals in your beauty products, certain chemicals in your food, plastics, things that mimic estrogen in the body, xenoestrogens. And I've written all about this in Master Your Metabolism. Drinking, bad for breast cancer. And so now, even when I go to dinner and I think to myself, okay, I'm not getting drunk. I'm not out with friends. I just wanted a glass of wine to take the edge off. I choose no. Now I'm like, you know what? The choice is no. And I have foods that help to remove excess estrogen in the body, like oatmeal, believe it or not. I have pomegranates now almost every day because they help to sort of decrease excess estrogen in the body. I looked up green tea, melatonin. So I have my green tea for breakfast now. I take a little melatonin tablet at night before bed. All these things help fight breast cancer. And now I feel like, you know what? At least I've got a fighting chance. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. And then if I get it, you know, I'm smart enough to say, okay, I'm predisposed. I'm going to get checked regularly. I'm going to get my mammograms now. I'm not going to screw around with it. I make sure I go every year to get screened, to do your own sort of self thing at home and self breast exam at home, and make sure that you are on top of it. So this information, my point of this segment is that I know what it feels like to be afraid of this information.
I was just going to say, does it cause a change you into more of a nervous person?
What is the alternative?
Yeah, true.
My answer to you is the alternative is you're 35 years old, you're 40 years old, you're 45 years old, and you've now been diagnosed with breast cancer, and you've got three kids and a husband.
And no preparation.
Or testicular cancer, or colon cancer, or prostate cancer. And this is real. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, I listened to this speech that Steve Jobs gave. And he was speaking to this group of students who were graduating from Stanford. Did you see this?
Yes, I did. I saw a clip of it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was just in tears. And he was talking, I think it was pancreatic cancer. So anyway, he was talking about how they had told him that he had pancreatic cancer, and then they told him that he was going to be okay. And of course, subsequently, we know that he ended up not being okay. We lost Steve Jobs. There's a little girl. I should be careful with this. But never mind. There's a host of people that I know who are dealing with cancer from various ages. Mm-hmm. In their 30s, young kids, older individuals in their 50s. But the reality is that it's everywhere. So I don't care. You should be nervous. These are precautions that you should be taking. There was a woman on the doctors that came on the show. She had stage 3 breast cancer. She's 32. I can't remember if she had 2 or 3 kids, unfortunately, because I was so overwhelmed by the segment. And luckily, she got checked and they caught it. And in a month, it had gone to a stage 3 because it was just a very aggressive form of cancer. So my point is this. Don't think for a second you're going to outrun this information. You're not.
Isn't that... That's interesting you say it like that.
You're not. Because we think we are. We think, I don't want to know. Everything is going along. I don't want to know.
So
I don't want to know. The thing is that it's going to... Not only would you think you're running ahead of the information, it's running ahead of you. And it's going to meet you as the Grim Reaper down the road. So please, just man up here. You can prepare. You can fight. You can prevent. But you cannot do it without information.
Now, is this an expensive test?
Gosh, the Navigen, unfortunately, I don't know because the doctors paid for it for me. So I don't know. I know they have a website and I think it's like Navigenics.com. And I'm not even saying do that. I'm just saying get your checkups. Don't be, get your checkups. If you've got the luxury of doing a Navigenics test or a body scan, super, great. Just be prepared. Get all the information. Don't be afraid of the information because knowledge is power. That's it. Now what?
Well, now, speaking of knowledge, Murda Potter's on the show today.
Oh!
Yeah, and she's got a very interesting segment coming up. Very interesting.
Oh, good. Well, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. And she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
Okay, we are back, and Myrtle Potter's waiting to talk to you.
Awesome. Myrtle, how are you?
I'm well, Jillian. How are you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I just want to give our new listeners a quick introduction to you. If they don't know who you are or what you do, I just want to tell everybody Myrtle Potter is who... Hold on, let me take that from the top. Myrtle Potter has been dubbed the trusted voice in healthcare. And I thought, Myrtle, you might explain a little bit about how you got that subtitle and what you do before we jump into this segment.
Sure, Jillian. I've been in the healthcare industry for over 30 years. And about 5 years ago, I almost died at the age of 46 from a severe allergic reaction to a medication. And I came out of that experience so shocked and stunned about the difficulty I had getting through the healthcare system that I decided that one of the things I would do is commit myself to helping other consumers not have the same kind of difficulties. So that's what I do.
Excellent. Thank you, buddy. And I just want to tell you guys, Myrtle what was the pharmaceutical company you ran? It was Merck?
So I was an executive at Merck. I had 5 years at Bristol Myers Squibb, and most recently I was president of Genentech, the world's most successful biotechnology company.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys get it. This is not just somebody off the street who had a revelation. This is a woman that has access to the information, who understands the system inside and out. And when I first met her, I was so blown away by the knowledge that she shared with me. I knew how important it was to share this stuff with you guys. So today, Myrtle's going to do a segment for us on how to essentially maintain your health care and how to make sure you're covered when you're traveling over the holidays. Am I right?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Jillian. You know, the holiday period is really difficult. And I say that because, when you look at the statistics, about 25% of falls happen between the 1st of November and January 31st, to mention all the people who end up with heart trouble in and around Christmas. It's kind of weird, but the statistics really do run that way.
Wow. That's discouraging, actually, but... Yeah. Well, it's good to be prepared. Okay, so I'm not going to get caught up in the dark side of these things. Mm-hmm. It's good to be prepared, and that's why you're here. So I'm focusing on the positive, Myrtle. It's my new thing. Keep going.
That's exactly right. I can feel you clutching your chest, but it really is all good. It is about being prepared.
Okay, so hit us. What should we do?
So the first thing I really encourage people to do before you decide you're going to take a trip or go someplace, make sure you've got your insurance situation set up. Make sure that you know when you're carrying with you your insurance information, You know your network and what network you're in for the destination where you're going to be. And certainly, my goodness, if you're going out of the country, make sure you get your vaccinations.
Right.
You have no idea how many people I talk to who come back from these exotic trips where they didn't take the time to sit down with their physician to figure out whether or not they needed to be vaccinated.
You make such a good point. I usually have been so good about this, and there was one vaccination that I didn't get when I went to Peru, and it was yellow fever.
So,
oh my gosh, I ended up getting altitude sickness, right? So I'm sick as a dog. I have a fever. I mean, I'm dying. We were up in this is such an embarrassing name, but we were up in Lake Titicaca. We're coming down. I think I'm Shut up, Janice.
On the radio.
Shut up. So I think I'm dying. And my friend looks at me, right? And of course she's on Google, which is the worst thing you could do, Googling my symptoms. And she goes,
oh, no.
Bitch, she goes, I think you have yellow fever, right? So I've got 104. And she's like, and I go, well, what does that mean? She goes, it's usually fatal. So now I think I'm dying. And had I only got the friggin' vaccination, I could have ruled it out. Needless to say, I did not have yellow fever. I had severe altitude sickness. So that is such great advice, Myrtle. I can't even tell you.
And imagine all the stress that you went through. I'm sure left you with an overhang for your trip.
Yes.
So I always say check your vaccinations if you're going out of the country. And then, of course, we've got the basics, Jillian. You know, if you normally wear a medical alert bracelet, you know, now's not the time to leave the bracelet at home because it's not going to match your outfit. Leave on the bracelet. Take your list of medications. Make sure you've got them properly stored when you're carrying them with you. And for God's sakes, don't check them in your luggage. Your luggage could end up in Bora Bora while you're sitting
in Passaic,
New Jersey. You know, make sure you carry your medications with you on the plane.
Smart. God, I didn't even think about that one. That's a great one. I have a question for you. Myrtle, what do you think about travel insurance? Because when I was traveling to Africa, my business manager had told me she wanted me to buy a separate health insurance because sometimes your insurance doesn't cover you overseas or something, or you might need to get air medevaced out or something like that. Does this make any sense? I, of course, didn't care to listen to her. I was like, how much is it? Okay, it's not that expensive. Just get it. So, because my attention span is like a 5-year-old. But is there something like that that exists, and do you recommend it?
So, you know, depending on where you travel, I do suggest you look into arrangements for emergency medical evacuation. If you're going to someplace really remote, let's just say you've decided that, you know, your lifetime dream, you're going to take a safari trip to Africa. Wouldn't that be a dream? I've actually never been on a safari, but that would be too cool. But on a trip like that, yeah, I would check into it. And there are really great companies. If you go online and look up Medijets, Medijets, there are some programs that are really pretty cost-effective and certainly worth looking into. But everyone just needs to evaluate their situation on an individual-by-individual basis. But I certainly, especially if I had a significant medical condition that I'd been dealing with for a while, I still wanted to go, I'd make sure I had a way to get out if I were going to a remote area. Short of that, you know, if I'm going across the country, I always make sure, what are the names of the local hospitals where I'm going to be staying? What's near my hotel? When I check into a hotel, I make sure that they can tell me if one of my kids gets sick, where's a nearby clinic? The idea is just to be prepared and make sure that you're going to be in contact with other people who are reputable enough to advise you.
Got it. Great advice. Now, do we have more? I didn't get my outline, so I'm just going to keep grilling you until you tell me you're done.
Oh, that's okay. I've got two more ideas.
I'm going to keep banging you for information until you tell me you've had enough. So,
So one of the things that people sometimes forget are the kinds of things you need to do for your kids. So I remember a trip where my children went to spend some time with their grandparents out of town. And as it turned out, my daughter became ill while they were out of town, and she needed to be taken to the hospital. Well, right now, if you had a grandparent taking a child in for treatment, it makes things really complicated when that grandparent isn't sitting with a medical release form. Something really simple from you as the parent that says, I, Jane Doe, give Jane Smith, the grandmother, the authority to direct medical care for my child when the child is under the grandparents' care. Something like that makes the process go so much more easily.
Wow.
Especially if you're not right there. So if you're sending your kids away to see the cousins or to see the grandparents, send them also with a note that gives them the authority to seek medical treatment if necessary.
And then the last thing I
want to leave you with is don't come home with stuff that you didn't intend to come home with. You know, recently there's been really what's been considered a national outbreak of bed bugs and lice.
Yes.
So, you know, ask your hotel what provisions, if you're staying in a hotel, what provisions they've made to make sure that you don't come home with something that you didn't want. I know in particular there have been major cities up and down the East Coast that have had a real issue. So don't be shy about asking the questions, because those things can be really tough to get rid of.
That's we did a whole segment on this on the doctors, and they said also come home, like, be careful with your luggage, wash all your things when you get home, and, you know, make sure to like check the beds. And I know it's gross, but
yeah,
Myrtle's right.
It's more gross if you bring it home and suddenly you've got an infestation in your house. So you have to check the rooms when you go in, pull back the covers, pull back the sheets. But better yet, do your homework beforehand. And you know what? I find that Yelp is a really great resource for seeing or getting a sense whether or not a hotel that you're planning on going to is really up to snuff in terms of its cleanliness and its especially in terms of it being free of all kinds of little things that you wouldn't want to bring home.
Hey, Myrtle, when you do pull back, you're looking, I mean, I hate to, you're looking for feces. Like, when you pull the sheets back, right, you're not going to see the...
God, Janice.
No, I'm just saying, what are you looking for when you pull the sheet back? Like,
you're looking for little black specks. You're looking for little black specks that just shouldn't be there.
Ugh.
It might look like a little bit like there was black pepper or something. And, you know, it's not unusual to see them in the seams of mattresses and things like that.
Right.
But the best thing to do is to not find, you know, if you get to a hotel and they're in one room, quite frankly, chances are the hotel has an infestation.
Yeah.
So my advice is don't rely on the visual inspections. Do some research ahead of time. Make sure that the hotel has a good reputation. And it doesn't have to be fancy to have a good reputation. It just needs to be free of the little critters that you don't want to be taking home with you.
Good. Yeah, that's great advice. Myrtle, thank you so much, buddy.
You're very welcome.
Oh, Myrtle, I always forget the most important part. How do our viewers learn more or get in touch with you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is Myrtle Potter, MYRTLE. Last name Potter, like Harry Potter. And you can also see me at www.myrtlepotter.com. And starting in January, you'll also probably see me on Everyday Health, which is at everydayhealth.com.
Thank you so much, pal. You're the best.
You're the best too, my dear. You take it easy, and I hope all your listeners have a wonderful and safe holiday.
I will. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. God, every time I think to myself, what's she going to tell me? Like, you know, I'm like, health away from home. What is she talking about? And then I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing that you don't think. Did your mother ever leave a note when she left you with the grandparents?
That's really interesting.
Jeez.
Because their grandparents are having a tougher time being an advocate for the child if something does happen. That's really true.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can't even tell you how important. I didn't even think about that. My mother's already... like, in anticipation, dear God, please God, of bringing home a little child from overseas. My mom's already, she's taking a grandparenting class. I'm not kidding.
No, that's wonderful.
You're laughing. I'm serious as a heart attack.
Sweet.
A grandparenting class about swaddling. I'm like, Mom, I'll probably bring home a 2-year-old.
Swaddling? You
know, swaddling. It's like this thing where they wrap up kids and... swaddle them. I don't know.
And the baby Jesus was swaddled. It's from Sunday school.
No, swaddling. It's this thing that they, this technique that they do with the blankets so the kids feel.
I don't know. Someone would swaddle me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. See, Grandma Joanne will come to the rescue and start swaddling. My mom's like, I'm going to learn how to swaddle? I was like, but Mom, the kid's probably going to be two.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But see, this is the information we need.
She's going to be like, I need a note. So that if anything happens,
this is, again, of course, how I perceive my mother's voice in my head. She's
I know.
Like that.
So it gets higher every time. Did you know that?
She says, honey, here's what I need. It's not funny. I need you to be serious about this. It's very serious stuff. I need a note.
That's what she's going to say.
Yeah. Well, you'd get it written.
A note.
And then watch for the I do. I mean, that freaks me out about hotels.
Well, that's the truth, though, boy.
I know.
Especially when you're in third world countries, and I've spent a fair amount of time. You really gotta, yeah. Whenever I do go to places like that, though, I try to pack. I mean, obviously, you pack light, but I'll bring like a sheet and a pillowcase.
Yeah,
and some towels, always. Not that anyone's planning on going to. I'd go to the third world. It's whatever. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
You're supposed to be the traffic cop.
I know. I'm very.
Should have moved us on.
I know. I think we can squeeze in a call. I think we can do that. So we'll take a quick little breather and then we'll come back and take a call.
Fine.
Oh yeah. The fancy cars, the women in the caviar. You know who we are, 'cause we're pimping all over the world.
So we have something a little bit different. We have two people waiting on the line for you.
Because I'm popular.
Because you're a popular gal.
All
we
right.
have this is Renee and Dale calling.
Great. Hi, guys.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm calling because I have a question.
Okay.
I'm trying.
Okay.
In regards to... my husband's son.
Okay.
Let's see, he's 10 years old. He's the youngest of our combined 6 kids.
Oh, okay.
And he seems to go on these binge eating trips when he's at his mom's house.
Okay. You sound real emotional about this. Why
can I interject here?
Yeah, please.
She's a huge fan.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Kind of a combination there.
Okay. Well, then am I off base then? So you're not feeling emotional about it then?
Yeah, I am.
You
I'm
are.
It's just the combination of the excitement of being on the phone with you and the issue. So.
Okay. Well, what about the issue is making you feel emotional?
Because I just don't know how to help him.
Okay, so it's making you feel helpless.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, you know, what can we do for him at our house that he can take with him over there?
Okay, I get that. All right, so hold on. So that's good to know. Why do you believe that this is happening over there?
Dale, do you have any opinion?
Because he gets in trouble for it.
Okay.
And he has an older sister that... rats him out to me. Because of, you know, you, I have decided a couple years ago to be a better role model. I am 2 years without cigarettes, about a year without, you know, very little alcohol.
Wow.
You know, that because my wife and I sit and, you know, watched you every week on TV.
Oh.
And, you know, watching what the contestants on that show went through and seeing that, you know, the drastic effect they had on their kids. You know, I started smoking when I was 14.
Yeah.
I quit when I was 38.
Wow.
I was two and a half packs of cigarettes a day. There are days I still miss one every now and then, but, you know, just the fact that I can walk around and run and all that other stuff without, you know, needing an oxygen tank dragging behind me, it's actually pretty cool.
We've done
a lot of things to try to set a better example for all of our kids.
Mm.
We almost no red meat, everything we cook with anymore. We make tacos, chili. It's all got ground turkey breast in it. My wife is just a trans fat fanatic, top old Nazi.
that's wonderful news.
I have one vice left, and it's Diet Coke, and she yells at me constantly about it.
Oh, I understand what that's like, and I'll tell you that here's the thing. You've done such an amazing job, and that's so wonderful. I know we're supposed to be talking about your 10-year-old, but I would just say, it would sure would be a shame for you to clean all this up and then get cancer from Diet Coke. So, and hypothetically, if you could conceivably get cancer from the chemicals in diet soda, not that I'm saying it causes cancer, because I would never make that claim. you follow my drift. So, you know, here's what I did to kick diet soda. It's one of the worst things. I mean, I was the kind of person that I would get, you know, you go to the restaurant and you get the diet soda and then they just refill it. And it's like I was doing at least 3 at lunch and at least 4 at dinner. And it's like 1 as a snack. And I was getting like 6-7 diet sodas in me a day. And what I ended up having to do was cold turkey, quit it. And it for like a month, I thought I was narcoleptic. I mean, I was like falling asleep at the lunch table. I couldn't think clearly. I missed it. I missed the taste of it. I was pissed off. I went through feelings of deprivation over it. But after a month, it's really fascinating. After a month, it starts to sound like fly spray. Like the thought of drinking it, it's just like you'd rather drink a glass of fly spray because you have the ability now to recognize the chemical taste of it. But it takes about a month. And I'm just here to tell you that various studies have suggested serious health ramifications of diet soda from being deleterious. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. Basically deteriorating your bones to possible genetic mutations in your gut and in the appetite centers of your brain to possible links to cancer. I mean, it's just, it really is. It's like you're drinking fly spray. So
aren't you guys glad you called?
Yeah. So I would just say, you know, but what I do is I've maintained a caffeine vice, but I get it through cleaner sources. So I either get it, you know, I get it through plant-based forms of caffeine, whether it's like, you know, green tea extracts or yerba mate extracts or guarana. So there's no chemicals, no pesticides, and I balance it out. I don't get over 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. And that's really sort of my last vice, and I keep it within those guidelines. You know, the occasional tequila on the rocks. And, you know, I incorporate a little bit of treat food into my diet every single day so I don't feel deprived. So it's like I get 200 to 300 calories of, you know, my favorite sweet. And generally it's, you know, fairly clean. It's like it's an organic kind of treat or candy or what have you. You know, I make brownies for my cookbook and things like that. But anyway, I know we were talking about your son and I do want to say, wow, excellent. Good job. But I would just say it sure would be a shame for you to make all these sacrifices and then have a diet soda take you out of the game. Okay, go on. So your son is getting in trouble, because his older sister is ratting him out to you guys or to everybody.
Yes.
And what is he doing?
Like, they have snacks over there the kind of snacks that we don't really have. I mean, I know one day he ate a whole box of those ice cream drumstick things.
Okay.
He will eat, we've just about stopped buying, you know, donuts and that sort of thing.
Right.
But he will, and at our house, they don't seem to miss him. We started buying, he loves strawberries and bananas and that sort of thing. You know, we replaced it with healthier things, and they haven't complained, you know, at all.
Mm.
Well, Sarah did.
So well, yeah, well. My 14-year-old daughter complains, but that's just her age.
that's okay. She chose yogurt instead.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, is he overweight, or is he just...
He's yes.
Yeah,
he's healthy.
55 inches tall and 117 pounds.
55 inches tall. I got to do math in my head. How many feet is that? Is that 4 or 5 feet?
4.5 feet.
4.5 feet? Okay.
Yeah.
And he's 117. 4.5 feet. Yeah, he's about a foot shorter than me, and he's my... Okay. So he's not huge.
No, not huge.
No. All right, he's not huge. He's just... I get you. All right. So a couple things I would wonder. Is he binging anywhere else? Is he binging at school? Anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Not that we're aware of.
And is he involved in any sort of physical activity? Like a sport?
No, just riding his bike outside at our house.
Okay.
At our house, he's extremely active. At his mother's, he sits in a room and plays Xbox.
Okay. All right. A couple of things I wonder about. And again, this can only come from a conversation with him, and the kind of conversation you have has got to be real delicate. So part of me wonders, and again, I could be way off base, and normally what I'll do is when I talk to somebody, I ask them questions, and then they'll tell me if I'm way off base or if I'm right on track. So I wonder if part of it is that he doesn't want to disappoint you, but then he's going over to his mom's house and he's rebelling a little, and the pendulum might be swinging from one extreme to the other. So at your house, you know, he's having strawberries and bananas, and then he goes over there and he houses a box of ice cream drumsticks. Can you have a delicate conversation with him where it's like, hey, sweetie, you know, because the sister's ratting him out to you, right? And then he's getting in trouble. So let me.
I don't ever yell. I try very, very hard to never yell at
him.
Doesn't get in trouble with us.
Okay, who does he? How does he get in trouble?
With his mother over there.
Oh. All right. So I would start a conversation with him. Number one, that has zero judgment, right? Because you never want them to think that you don't love them or you have a problem with them or you have a, you know, when it comes to food, that you don't love them or you're judging them or you feel they need to be fixed or changed, because kids interpret that as conditional love and then they rebel against it and it builds insecurities and what have you. So I would maybe start a conversation and just say, hey, honey, I'm wondering, I know this is what's going on over there and I know you're kind of getting in trouble for it. And, you know, this is nothing to be ashamed of, but it's like, I kind of was wondering what's going on when you're eating a box of drumsticks over there. And it's nothing that you need to feel like you can't tell us. We're not going to judge you. Like, are you feeling like you miss it because here you only have, you know, fruit, or are you just feeling like you're lonely, or what's happening? And see if you can try to get the truth out of him. He might be afraid to tell you, but if you approach him with zero judgment and that, you know, you have a better chance of kind of getting him to open up, and he'll probably tell you he doesn't know, because that's what kids do. I don't know. But if you maybe suggest these various scenarios to him and see how he responds, you'll probably get a better answer. Because it's probably a couple of things. I would think part of it is he close with any of his siblings at all? Does he feel sort of like the youngest and a bit out of the loop? We need to talk to your little boy and find out what's going on. And he's probably going to give you the runaround a little bit, because he probably consciously doesn't know what's going on. So we have to guess a little bit and put these various scenarios out there and see how he responds to them. So, you know, a host of things could be happening here. He could be having a little rebellion about having the super healthy food at one house and then having the super unhealthy food at the other house. He could be like, you know, most kids who experience living in different homes. He could be having a reaction to various aspects of that, which is totally normal, by the way. And, kids are going to respond to different things that go on in their home. You know, I know I did. I'm sure you guys did. And being 10, he could be feeling alienated, not having a younger male sibling. There could be a million things that could be going on. He could be getting picked on in school. You know, we don't know. And he could be turning to food. I know that when I was his age, I would turn to food because it was comforting. And I was an only child until I was 15 and a half. And it was the one thing that was consistent. And whenever I felt upset or alone or stressed out about something, I would turn to food. Now, if you told me that at 10, I wouldn't have even understood what you were saying. And that's why, you know, this is going to be a conversation of like, sweetie, you know, we love you. We just want to support you. So, you know, what do you think? We don't want you getting in trouble over there. Or what do you think's happening? You know, do you feel like, and then present all these various scenarios and then talk to him about what he wants. You know, and it's like, what would help you? How could we help you? What is it that you want? And maybe get him into an activity or like martial arts or soccer or football in school where he's around other boys. He has peers that he can turn to. He has a healthy outlet that can help boost his self-esteem. And just if it is something where it's conceivable that it's gotten a little maybe too clean at your house, you can incorporate healthy treats in a more moderate way. So it's like a drumstick, not a box of drumsticks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or you know, pop chips versus Doritos and Cheetos and stuff like that. So you can have healthier options of those kinds of foods and you can experience them in moderation, even though I think that could be a small part of it. I also think that he must be going through something where he's feeling a little bit alone. I'm guessing. And again, I could be projecting because I went through that at his age, but you won't know unless you kind of question him in a very loving, gentle way to get to the bottom of it. But here's my parting shot. Because you're having an emotional response to this and you're telling me that it makes you feel helpless, he's smart. He's going to pick that up. So he's probably not going to want to tell you because he's probably not going to want to upset you or make you feel out of control. So this is triggering and touching something in you that you need to look at and try to separate those feelings from this conversation with your son. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And then do me a favor. Get the information, have this talk with him because it's hard for me without being able to talk to him because I can't, without being able to question him and talk to him and read into what he's saying, it's hard for me to know exactly what's going on and then it's hard for me to guide you accordingly. So I can tell you to have this talk with him and then find out, you know, listen to what he says, see if there are ways of supporting him, highly recommend the activity and maybe a slightly more modern environment at your house and maybe, you know, let him know that you're there for him in whatever ways he needs. But if you get sort of an answer and you're stumped again, call me back with the results of that conversation and we can work this through a little bit further.
Okay, we can do it.
Sure.
And I got to commend you guys. I just want to say, like, bravo for the healthy changes you've made and the responsibility that you've taken in your own life. And good for you. Way to really take control and make no excuses. Very, very impressive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you too. I'll hopefully talk to you soon. If you know, let me know how this turns out, please. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. It's tough, though. It's tough without me being able to talk to that kid. Because it could be a million things that are going on that we don't see. And she's, you know, she's clearly having an emotional response to this. And I'm sure the kid is picking up on that in some way. And then I'm projecting my childhood obesity crap into this kid. So it's like, it's tough for me to say what he's going through because I only see it through my eyes. But if he was here, I could say, okay, what about this? Yes, no. What about that? Yes, no. What about this? And then you can kind of narrow in on what's happening.
You're right, because he can't come up with the answer.
Yeah.
Himself. Yeah.
So, well, at 10, no, he doesn't know what's going on. He unconsciously, but he's not thinking to himself, you know, I feel like I'm the only. Yeah. I mean, it's just. So, anyway, now what?
Now we say goodbye. Yeah, you have to. You have to say, sing the Sound of Music song. So long, farewell, avida zay adieu. I really don't know if that's the proper German or Austrian. You don't know the Sound of Music?
No.
Is that too? You watch the Sound of
Music. No, I didn't. I am not a...
You've never watched the Sound of Music.
No, Janice. Some of us have taste.
Oh. Are you kidding? That is the class... Julie, how could you say that when
you're dating yourself?
I don't care. I'll date...
Dating yourself.
The Sound of Music is one of the classic movies of all time. There was
Son of Bruce Paul. Are you
Jake?
Admitting...
You've seen it, right? Oh my God,
Jake,
Jillian!
What? Your dad made you watch it.
I can't believe you haven't watched this.
Well, that's just child abuse.
Just for that, I'm going to sing the whole song.
Doe, a deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun.
Bye.
Me, a name I call myself. A long, long way to run. So, a needle pulling thread. La, a note to follow. So, tea, a drink with jam and bread. that will bring us back to doe. Oh, oh, oh,
doe!
A deer, a female deer.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.